and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people.
If you're wandering around in doubt, if you're wandering around in confusion about this issue or that issue or another issue, and we have plenty of issues. If you're not a student of the Word of God, but rather a student of man's teaching, a heresy will come along and it will get you. Welcome to Highway for the Remnant. Every day it seems that God's church is under siege by satanic forces that are sometimes so subtle that it will easily influence one who is not alert to the enemy's methods of deception. Oftentimes, the question is raised, why does God allow these attacks upon God's people to come? And these deceptions are coming now more rapidly than ever as we near the close of probation. Well, let me assure you that through all the deceptions and all the spinning of biblical truth, God has a purpose. Nothing gets by His observation, and He has His way of dealing with this kind of thing if we but trust Him. In fact, Isaiah 49, verse 25 says this, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. Beloved, we serve a very capable God. Well, just how does He deal with errors? And how does He deal with heresies with which our church is continually confronted? This will be the focus of the message to which you are listening right now. So let us go live now to this month's message, The Blessing of Heresy. All right, come with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, where our text came from this morning. The book of Romans, chapter 8. One of the most quoted verses in the Word of God. Chapter 8 and verse 28, and let's read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. One of the most encouraging texts as well, wouldn't you say? And rightly so. All things work together for good. All things. What are all things? What do they do? What do? They work together. But as we look around us today, it just seems that everything is working at cross purposes, does it not? This promise here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is not for everybody. It's only for those who love God. Now, who are those who love God? Who is it that loves God? Let me give you a couple of texts. Let's go to John chapter... Where am I going? John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Who are those who love the Lord? Those who keep His commandments. Now, let's look at another text. Over in John chapter 17. Come over to John chapter 17. And we'll look at verse 6. John 17, verse 6.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. So those who love the Lord will keep his word, right? Now, would the Lord like to have all things work together good for everybody? Yes, of course he would. But having given man the power of choice, it rests then with man to determine whether or not he's going to work together for his own selfish good or for God's good. However, we must never lose sight of something very important, and that is the eventual carrying out of God's plan and will, because it will be carried out. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, come with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Very, very interesting text here in verse 8. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Interesting text. Isn't that good news, though? I mean, even Satan can't do anything against the truth. Now, of course, he's going to do everything within his power and to do this. And in this world, it seems that he's having his way, doesn't it? But behind the scenes, God is working out his will. Not one of us can do anything against the truth. It would be like beating your fists against a brick wall. His truth is going to stand solid and firm through all eternity. So this means that all these new ideas of Ignatian concepts of spirituality and all the denial of God's marvelous message and the spinning of modern historical, critical, biblical interpretation will all come to naught. All of it's coming to naught. It will do just the opposite, in fact. It will make that which is biblical truth even more victorious. Isn't that good news? We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. So in reality, we can do nothing but for the truth. The brick wall against which you're beating your fist, that doesn't fight back. It just stands there while your fists are bleeding and your bones are breaking. This is what Paul, I believe, is talking about here when he said we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Even that you think is against the truth, or you may not think it, but whatever's against the truth is actually for the truth. All the opposition that has ever had the audacity to confront God's marvelous truths have either gone on to their everlasting destruction or are well on their way there. Listen, beloved, this is why we are here. This is why we're here. The rescue has been provided by a loving God, by a living God who loves them with an everlasting love. And you and I are his instruments in that endeavor to save that which is lost. Psalm 76. Come with me now to the 76th Psalm. We're going to cover a few texts of Scripture. You may want to write them down. Psalm 76 and verse 10. This is another very interesting text. Verse 10. Psalm 76, verse 10. It says here, Surely the wrath of man shall praise God. The wrath of man shall praise God. And the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God even uses the wrath of man to praise him. He gets the credit for this. God gets the credit for this. He uses even the plans of his enemies and the wrath of the dragon to work out his will. Now, Isaiah, come over to Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And we'll read verse 15 through 17. Verse 15 through 17 of Isaiah 54. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Wow. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know, even all the military might in the world will serve God's purpose, whether it be good or bad. This text, beloved, is also, I believe, speaking of those who gather against God's last day church. God is saying to his people, see all those people out there? See those people coming against you or saying all these bad things about you? Don't worry. Don't worry about it. You don't need to be concerned, because not one weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Not one weapon going against you is going to prosper. Remember, Lord, the Lord says, remember, I created them. They are the creatures, not the creators. They will not prosper, no matter what they try to do to God's people. So let's just take a look quickly at those texts that I've mentioned thus far. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those who love the Lord, right? What does 2 Corinthians 13:8 say? We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. That's 2 Corinthians 13:8. Then in Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The wrath of man shall praise thee. And then in Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. In other words, we have the promise and the hope that God will take care of his people. No weapon will prosper against his people. No good purpose is going to be accomplished by it. Because you see, he's our commander-in-chief. I couldn't ask for a better commander-in-chief. Those who have attempted to thwart God's program are as guilty as if they had been successful. And we can rejoice in the wonderful fact that not one of them are going to succeed. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me, and no one is able to pluck me out of his hands, my Father's hands. There's a thrilling statement, inspiring statement in Signs of the Times, January the 6th, 1898. That was a while back, wasn't it? Not as far back as what we just read, though. She says, it is thought by some to be a misfortune when erroneous theories are advanced. But the Lord has said, all things work together for good to them who love God. All things, even erroneous theories, are going to work together for good for God. Doesn't that bring you hope in this age of confusion? Come with me now to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, the first chapter, and verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel not that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Those that have been called into the grace of Christ, I'm surprised, I marvel that you're so soon moved away from that gospel. You see, if the Gentiles had not backslidden from the faith, speaking of those in Galatia, Paul would not have had to write these words you see here, unto another gospel. You see, There are many who have a superficial conversion to the faith. Like the evangelist told me one time, he said, he did an evangelistic series and baptized a number of people, and he came back a year later, and everybody said, where are all those people? Where have they gone? And the evangelist said, I don't know. I left them with you. You see, Galatians was written because there was much heresy in Galatia. And the same was true in Thessalonica. This is what precipitated Paul's two letters to the believers in the Thessalonians there. Paul pointed out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there would be a great apostasy. We talked about it briefly in Sabbath school this morning, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. that there would be a great apostasy. They would be in such strong delusion that they would believe a lie. You read it there in verse 10 and 11 of that chapter. Many of our people have come under strong delusion, so much so that they would believe a lie, leading others who are weak in the faith to fall under their delusions. I mean, the delusions today are multitudinous surrounding us, beloved. I mean, the denial of Christ's sacrifice by resurrecting feast days, the non-personage of the Holy Spirit, the denial of the sanctuary message, the adoption of Jesuit-inspired spiritualistic exercises, the promoting of a sin-and-live theology. Sin-and-live theology. Once saved, always saved. There can be no victory in this life. And encouraging others to believe their lie. Are you with me? All this is working together for good because they will not prosper. It's not based upon a thus saith the Lord. They will not prosper. The book of 1 Thessalonians, his first letter to the Thessalonians, was written because of their misunderstanding concerning the state of their loved ones in death. And that's well brought out there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as you well know. And in the second letter, it was written because of their misunderstanding of the great apostasy in their midst of the followers there before the second coming. Beloved, every time error is advanced, it will work together for good, for truth, for those who love God. And believe me, today error is being advanced at a record pace within God's church. And those advancing errors will possess a form of godliness. Paul recognized that as he shared it with his friend Timothy. You remember there in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3? He said they will possess a form of godliness, but they're doing what? Denying the power thereof. And what did he say? What should be your response to this? From such, turn away. Turn away. Oh, they'll have a winsome smile and a winsome approach to lure those who are not solidly grounded in the faith. Beloved, we've got to be solidly grounded in the faith. You see, they will take advantage of us if we're not grounded, because their purpose, you see, is to give us a clearer understanding, you see. Because you and I, we cannot comprehend these new revelations in this new relative age, you know, in which we're living. "Come into my parlor," said the spider to the fly. So opposition against light and truth brought about a great need for the clear definition of truth. You see, every time error is advanced, it will work only for good for those who sincerely love God. Listen, beloved, when truth becomes shadowed by erroneous theories, then those whom the Lord has made his sentinels will make the truth even sharper or clearer. You know what a shadow is like. A shadow can be short on the ground or long on the ground, depending on the location of the sun at the time. And that shadow doesn't show the details. Are you with me? It might have an outline, but it doesn't show the details. A shadow, shadowed by erroneous theories. Beloved, when faced with these challenges, we will search the Scripture for the evidence of our faith. That's what we have to do. Come with me now to Acts. Back up to Acts chapter 20 now. Acts chapter 20. You may be asking, why does God allow erroneous theories to come to his church? Either whether within, from within, or from without. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. "For we know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Grievous wolves, not sparing the flock. Men of our own selves. So you see, there will be those who will enter in from outside, but there will also be those of our own selves from inside, both inside and outside the church. Well, why does God allow this contention and fracturing of our blessed church to take place? Why is the unity of the church being constantly threatened by these grievous wolves? Well, we've just discovered that God has a purpose. God must have a purpose. He must have a purpose or he wouldn't allow it. He could have cleansed his hands of all of this and started over again. Well, I would like to share with you two great purposes of God that are accomplished through these heresies. God's two great objectives in the face of these erroneous theories. Now, let me ask you, though, first of all, could God stop these heresies? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he could. But he doesn't. Why does he allow them? Why does he allow some to come with this message or that message or another message or spinning of an established message to create confusion and doubt concerning that which is clearly presented in Scripture? Well, I would suggest to you that the first purpose is found in 1 John chapter 2. Just before Revelation, 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 18 and 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19 says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So the first purpose, I would say, is to sift out the false-hearted. There you have it. What happened here as we read these texts? What happened here? It says they went out. Why did they go out? That it may be made manifest or clear, if you please, or that they might be revealed that they were not of us. Five Testimonies, page 707. It says, "God will arouse his people. If other means fail, heresies will come in among them that will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat." Well, what do heresies do? They sift the church. The chaff is separated from the wheat. No matter which direction the wind blows, it's the chaff that blows out, and it's the wheat that remains. And the winds are blowing every which way. The winds of doctrine. Now, this is a terrible ordeal to witness the sifting that is going on. It's not fun to watch the sifting. It's very sad. One Testimonies 100 says this, "As we near the judgment, all will manifest their true character, and it will be made plain to what company they belong." She says, "The sieve is moving. Let us not say, 'Stay thy hand, O God.' The church must be purged, and it will be." Praise God. What a promise. Beloved, there's no doubt that the sieve is moving today. It's moving. And it will result in the revealing of a people prepared to meet the Lord. Praise God for that. Listen, beloved, the church must be sifted and purified. It's a difficult process. It's something that is not fun, beloved. It's not a joy, but it must be sifted. And it must be purified. And one of the agencies that God uses is heresy to blow the chaff from the threshing floor of the church. Listen, if there is a false-hearted one among us here today, if there's anyone in our midst today who is false-hearted, may not even know it, something will come along and get you. You can count on it. You can be certain of that. Unless you have a genuine conversion experience, something is going to come along and get you. You see, heresies are designed to prune the dead branches from the living vine. So when we look at it that way, we can praise God for heresies. Never forget, if you're wandering around in doubt, if you're wandering around in confusion about this issue or that issue or another issue, and we have plenty of issues, if you're not a student of the Word of God, but rather a student of man's teaching, a heresy will come along and it will get you. Heresies will come along, sifting the chaff from the wheat. And the only way we can be safe, the only way you and I can be safe from the sifting out, is that if we love God and His Word more than our own opinion. Don't have opinions. Have a thus saith the Lord. We have all kinds of things that, oh, I think it means so and so. That's just an opinion. You've got to have a thus saith the Lord. Some heresies are more subtle and more difficult to detect. They come wrapped in some very interesting camouflage. A wonderful new discovery of righteousness by faith. Or the substance of the Holy Spirit. I've mentioned it before. The resurrection of feast days. One of the most subtle is the concept that our lifestyle choices are inconsequential to our salvation. Have you heard that? In very subtle ways. Never forget that the devil is studying your mind and your character, and if there is any fault line there, you be sure that he will design a tremor that will shake you out. Six testimonies, 400. As trials thicken around us, both separation and unity will be seen in our ranks. Some will make it manifest that they are not built upon the solid rock. Those who have had great light but have not improved them will, under one pretext or another, go out from us. Beloved, true revival in our midst will be accomplished only in the face of opposition. Without opposition, you'll never develop. Without swimming upstream against the current, you never become strong. Now, there's more than one way to depart from the faith. Let's take a look now at God's second purpose in allowing heresy in the camp. Come with me now to Acts, back to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts, the 17th chapter. Verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Speaking of the Bereans, by the way. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that what? That they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures once in a while. Daily. Whether those things were so. Study the authentic, not the counterfeit, not the opinions. Search the scripture to see if these things are so. The ministry of heresy, beloved, can lead us to study the Word of God. These Bereans were more noble because they were willing to receive the Word of God. And unlike the unbelieving Thessalonican Jews, the Bereans were eager to learn what Paul and Silas had to say. They examined what they heard against what? Compared it with the Scripture, with the Old Testament Scriptures. They honestly listened and sincerely conducted personal research, which led many Bereans to a faith in Christ and His message of truth. Oh, how I pray, beloved, that the ministry of heresy would lead us as it did those folks in the city of Berea there in Macedonia. And by the way, B-E-R-E-A, Berea, if you add D-Y on there at the end of it, what do you get? Be ready. Interesting. That's a little play on words from yours truly. Okay. 5T 707. 5T, page 707. There are those who take it for granted that they understand what they believe. But until controversy arises, they do not know their own weakness. The fact that there is no controversy or no agitation among God's people should not be regarded as conclusive evidence that they're holding fast to sound doctrine. You can have a church that's getting along just wonderful, but they're all sound asleep. There is reason to fear that they may not be clearly discriminating between truth and error. When no new questions are started by investigation of the Scriptures, when no difference of opinion arises, which will set men to searching the Scripture for themselves to make sure that they have the truth, there will be many now, as in ancient times, who will hold to tradition and worship they know not what. Interesting statement. When no new questions are started by investigation of Scriptures, when no difference of opinion arises which will set men to searching the Bible, you see. Otherwise they could end up worshiping they know not what. So you see, one of the reasons why God allows erroneous theories and heresies of various kind to come in our midst is to lead us to study God and His Word for ourselves. Can you see that? And you know, if heresy accomplishes that, then again, I say praise the Lord. If heresies in our midst get us to dig out the books and read the inspired counsels, then we can say, as did David, the wrath of man pleases God. You see, our Father in heaven, I believe, is pleased that something good has come out of this. We need more than a superficial knowledge of Scripture. You see, just because a man says that he holds to Scripture doesn't mean that he's teaching truth. He can give you reams of material containing Bible quotes and spirit of prophecy quotes, but this doesn't mean he's an angel of light. I mean, individuals are always sending me articles. Can you imagine with Highway? Oh. I'm always getting articles and copies of this and copies of that and self-prepared documents, and books of a different order. Pastor Dan, please read this. Please peruse this. Give me your opinion on this. I'm constantly deluged with this stuff. I know you get a certain amount yourself, but you get a ministry going and you'll find out how many more you will get. Beloved, I'm not going to allow the enemy of souls to divert me from a study of the Holy Scriptures and that which I've been called to do. Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures is the foundation of my faith. Now, what I'm about to say might be the most important thing I say today. And that is very simply, the thing we need to study are the original sources. We don't need to read all these things they send us. We need to read the spirit of prophecy, the word of God first, and the spirit of prophecy counsels. 8 Testimonies 298. I'm giving you a lot of references here today. 8 Testimonies 298. Perilous times are before us. Everyone who has a knowledge of the truth should awake and place himself, body, soul, and spirit, under the discipline of God. The enemy is on our track. We must be wide awake on our guard against him. We must love and obey the truth for this time. I beseech those who are laboring for God not to accept the spurious for the genuine. Let not human reason be placed where divine sanctifying truth should be. Let not erroneous theories receive countenance from the people who ought to be standing firm on the platform of eternal truth. So my appeal for each one of us is to take seriously this challenge from the pen of inspiration. In summary, let us briefly review why God allows heresy in the camp. And there are the two big reasons. One is to what? You remember? Sift out the false-hearted. And number two, that the true-hearted may go to the Word of God and the testimonies and study as never before from the original sources, the way God wrote it, or He had it written, not spun, not put together as humanly inspired documents. Beloved, you remember that all down through history in this great movement, there have been men, I mean good men, educated men, serious men, who have lost their way and have fallen in the darkness of unbelief because the enemy has succeeded in leading them away from the truth, even when they thought they were pursuing truth with all of their hearts. They believed it with all their might. We need the Holy Spirit. We need revival and reformation. We need to dig deeply in the written Word of God and in the Spirit of Prophecy Councils. I've had individuals come to me attempting to persuade me that I need to keep the feast days. And in so doing, if possible, I need to get my sheep pen and get a sharp knife. I mean, if I were to do that, I would be negating my Savior's death on the cross of Calvary. Bless their hearts, these folks. They truly are thinking that they are pursuing truth with all their hearts. They really do. You know, I could spend my time with other heresies, but this is not my purpose. I'm sharing with you the wonderful fact that we can do nothing against the truth, but only for it. These dear ones are only beating their fists against a brick wall. God's truth will stand forever. Amen. Not an opinion, but a truth. Even Satan cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Isn't that wonderful news? So let us study the genuine, not the counterfeit. And beloved, we need every piece of God's armor, for we shall need it as we engage in a battle that Jesus has already won if we will only cooperate with Him. We're living and dwelling in a grand and awful time.
The vital end time ministry of Highway for the Remnant is made possible by your faithful prayers and generous support, enabling us to spread present truth messages at home and abroad. To contact us, visit our website at highwaytotheremnant.com, or you may email us at remnanthighway@hughes.net. You may also use the enclosed envelope for a change of address, or to submit the name of someone who would appreciate these very important messages. Our prayer is that when Jesus appears the second time, He will find a people rooted and grounded and proclaiming the three angels' messages. And now we continue with Highway for the Remnant's health segment and story time.